Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line. We're live right here on SportsGrid on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. It should be a busy one here on a Tuesday. DRS, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good today, you know, rested and ready, as I like to say. Didn't have too many big events yesterday as we are waiting for the Sweet 16 on Thursday and Friday, but some nice topics to go over. And as we say, Kevin, 2 hours is never enough. Doesn't matter. Just never enough.
It truly never is. We begin the 7-7 headlines here with some college basketball news. The tournament has ended for Rick Pitino and the Iona Gales, and Rick Pitino's time with the Iona Gales has ended as well. He's going to be making his way to St. John's. Not the only big move in the Big East, though, as Ed Cooley bounces from Providence to Georgetown here. Some big-time coaches trying to restore some of the more prominent programs in the Big East.
I mean, Pitino's been one of those guys that restores programs. He did wonders at Iona and now moving on here to the Big East. But having said that, Kevin, the Big East is better for this. If you can make St. John's better and you can make Georgetown better, college basketball is better. This has the feeling of the old Big East coming back into play. I like both of these coaching hires at both of these institutions, Kevin.
Yeah, as Donnie and many folks like him romanticize the Pitino hire, at the start of hour number two, somebody with some actual insight will give you the real idea as to what's going on here.
Who's that?
So you can all just sit tight and wait for that. Certainly not you, my pal. We get over to the NFL news, where one of my favorite headlines I've ever seen yesterday involved the Indianapolis Colts and Lamar Jackson. And the headline story coming from ESPN Stephen Holder, who covers the Indianapolis Colts, is that the Colts have not ruled out pursuing Lamar Jackson. I mean, they've not made it clear that they also want Lamar Jackson, but we are now at the point in the Lamar sweepstakes where it is headline news if a team has now not rushed to tell us they want nothing to do with Lamar Jackson. So the Colts maybe are interested.
Yeah, it's finally getting some movement, Kevin, right? Where they pick up the phone and say, what do you think about Lamar Jackson? Yeah, he's a good football player. Can I run with that, coach? Can I run with that in the national media? But granted, if Lamar Jackson does end up on the Colts, that is a massive upgrade. Shane Steichen came from Philadelphia. Did you see what he did with Jalen Hurts? My goodness, what could he put in that same offense with Lamar Jackson? I would love to see it, but the question is, will we? I don't think we will.
It doesn't seem likely. And also, as I peel through the remainder of these headlines here, this is one of our best 7-7s ever. It's like if people just had to read these headlines here and they just had to figure out what. Listen to this next one. Cam's pro day. Cam Newton will be the quarterback for Auburn at their pro day here as he attempts to get back in the NFL. Cam Newton releasing his own little personal highlight tape saying that there are not 32 guys better than him, indicating, at least from that video, that Cam Newton is not just interested in being in the NFL, but probably interested in being a starter this coming season.
And by the way, when you do see the 7-7 topics, you're like, man, they're fire. As long as you're getting my takes as opposed to Kevin's takes here, because Cam Newton's pro day will be exciting for one reason. I don't know what that reason is, Kevin, and we'll leave it there.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, we're here for like Donnie's take. And Donnie's take is, I don't really know what's going
that's
on.
Fire, man.
Attaboy.
People need that in the
tomorrow,
morning.
Maybe tomorrow we can let you stretch your legs and you can roll a 7-7 and see what you bring to the people, my friend there. We will talk a little bit about Cam Newton and potential landing spots as well that could make some sense. Our radio audience is here on a Tuesday morning, the Early Line, SiriusXM, Channel 159. To get over to the NBA, the Warriors went on the road. This shouldn't be a headline ever as long as this dynasty still exists. The defending NBA champions, though, win their first road game since January in covering fashion as well. 121-108, Steph Curry with 30 points.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, and also, you know, a nice game by Klay Thompson, but it was one of those factors where something has to give here. The Warriors never win on the road, and the Rockets are never trying to win a game. The Warriors won out last night, but do you take that and say, whoo, we finally got a road win? Yeah, it was the Rockets. I mean, I don't know where the Warriors go from here, but I guess, Kevin, it's a nice start.
You're right. It has to start somewhere,
yes,
but also
it does.
When you score 121, and I think it, you know, keeps you still under a team total, it goes to show that this doesn't. Does this really count? We'll talk about that as well. We did see the Chicago Bulls pull a nice little upset last night in double overtime against the Sixers. This game headed into double overtime with both teams tied at 99. Low-scoring Eastern Conference affair, but never low-scoring for Joel Embiid. 37 points, 16 rebounds in the loss.
No, you're right about that. We talked about it yesterday. 33.5 for Joel Embiid was his prop, and you saw those lower scores. Like, man, he probably didn't get that, but you needed the extra overtime periods. But also, how about DeMar DeRozan, 23.5? He needed the extra periods to get over his points total. So even though you had some lower numbers, some of these guys did cash in some tickets, but bad loss by the Sixers, man. Ends a nice little streak. They should have won that game.
If you thought that was a bad loss, the New York Knicks lost last night at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who did not have Anthony Edwards, despite Julius Randle scoring a career-high 57 points. The Knicks gave up at least 30 points in every single quarter. I was in the building for this game, and I could not believe my eyes as Taurean Prince turned into the best player in NBA history, shooting 8-for-8 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, pretty impressive. 140 points on the road without your best player in a win. And the Timberwolves really needed that victory big time.
No doubt about it. The last headline here involves the World Baseball Classic, which we're going to dive into in just a moment.
When's it start?
Advancing in walk-off fashion over Mexico. We'll get into that all next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We often begin at this spot right here with one big question. There's a number of opportunities for us to attack the basketball, whether that be college or the pro game, to go to the NFL. But I thought we would give the World Baseball Classic its due. Because last night I did think that the World Baseball Classic, despite the fact that it was a game not involving the United States, did have a lot of people's attention. A really, really exciting one between Mexico and Japan that ended in walk-off fashion for Japan as they win that baseball game 6-5. And the World Baseball Classic has not been without controversy, is maybe a strong word, but plenty of debate from some that have really, really enjoyed this event and others that don't think it should exist. Or at least, if it does exist, it should not involve anybody in Major League Baseball at this point in the calendar. Japan's victory pushed them forward to a matchup tonight against the United States, and we'll talk about the odds for that game and where things sit right now for that, the total and everything in between. But, Donnie, I thought we would give ourselves a little bit of space here to actually talk about the event that has been the World Baseball Classic that will conclude tonight, because I know that you have been one of the people that have been against, again, the involvement of a lot of these high-level superstars in this event. The United States lineup is an all-star game. I mean, it looks just like that. Trey Turner is batting in the nine hole. Trey Turner is one of the best players in Major League Baseball. As you sit here right now with just one game left remaining in the World Baseball Classic, where do you stand on this event?
Look, I know people enjoy this event. The world enjoys this event. I'm a Major League I'm not a baseball fan per se, Kevin. I'm a Major League Baseball fan. I always preface this by saying college baseball is boring as all get out for me. You can sell me on Omaha and how cool it is where the college baseball team show. I don't care. I don't watch a single pitch of that. But it looks like the event is well received here nationally and also around the globe. But having said that, if you ask each individual teams, like the Angels, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Cubs, ask their fan base what they think about this, it's okay, but My players better not get hurt here, which is why you see if you are a Mets fan today, I don't think there's a single Mets fan, whether or not they like the baseball tournament or not, that are happy about the baseball tournament taking place because you've now been severely impacted with your chance to win a World Series. And as you brought up Trey Turner, who is having a monster WBC, the only thing I can think of is, whew, deep breath, one game left to go. Guys, don't get hurt because a week from today, basically, we are going to have the start of the Major League Baseball season. That's the way I think about it. And also impact for me, being a Phillies fan. Whether or not the United States wins tonight won't impact me one bit, won't be upset, won't be cheering if they win. The only thing I will look at once again is Schwarber okay? Is Turner okay? Is Realmuto okay? If they are, fantastic. Made it through. Thank goodness.
And obviously nobody ever wants to see their best guys get hurt. And I can't pretend that there aren't some Mets fans that have not been up in arms over the fact that they've lost Edwin Diaz for a full season. But the nature of the Edwin Diaz injury is a complete freak accident. And I don't blame his participation in the World Baseball Classic for that injury. Jose Altuve's injury, again, which is the case with a lot of baseball injuries, it's a pitch off the hand, right? It's the way that it's always a bit odd how it turns out there. And it wasn't as if Jose Altuve was doing some nonsensical activity and hurt himself. He was playing baseball. And if Jose Altuve wasn't at the World Baseball Classic, he would be playing baseball, just in a Astros uniform in a spring training game. And I actually think I would be more annoyed at somebody getting injured in a spring training game than over in a competitive thing that matters to somebody's country and has a bit of pride into it and has some substance to it all. And I think the other thing for the World Baseball Classic is it's definitively been good for baseball. When was the last time we had any reason to talk about the sport of baseball outside of baseball season? I mean, sometimes we don't talk about baseball during the heart of baseball season. Big NFL news day, you'll be lucky if we break down Yankees Orioles. That's just how baseball goes. And now we're sat here and we're seeing the star power of Ohtani continue to rise. We're seeing people get excited about the United States team. We're seeing someone like Randy Arozarena playing for Team Mexico, catching more eyes out there as he was a big part of their run to the semifinal. The World Baseball Classic has been objectively good for baseball. Again, yeah, the Edwin Diaz injury is incredibly unfortunate, but do we really? He was jumping up and down in celebration, and that's supposed to cancel this event and send everybody home? I think that would be misguided frustration.
No, and I hear your points there. And again, a lot of people are enjoying the World Baseball Classic, as they should. There are a lot of superstar players playing, and it's apparent that the players playing, Kevin, really take this seriously and are enjoying themselves overall, because you're seeing it time and time again. Otuvi gets hurt, you know, Diaz gets hurt, but the managers and the players going, I would do it all over again because how much fun I'm having, and rightfully so. And quite frankly, I'm a sports fan, Kevin, that once you get out of season, I sort of drop down, because as you see on the show here, next week we're probably going to ramp up a lot of coverage on Major League Baseball. But if you see myself and Kevin breaking down like the Philadelphia Phillies offseason roster, the Brewers offseason roster, no, because we're waiting for it to become in season. And also with the WBC, you're being hidden during March Madness right now. Like, that is content here at Sports Grid, wall to wall, so exciting. But now you're actually getting that deep breath in the tournament waiting for Thursday, which gives the WBC a chance to shine. Last night, there wasn't much going on. Tonight, when the USA is playing, there's not much going on. And that's a big time win for the tournament. Because my question is, I joke and say, well, who should be in it? Who should not be in it? If this tournament was played in October while the Major League Baseball playoffs were going on, and if your team didn't make the playoffs, you could play. And as your team got knocked out, you can then join your team, whether it's Italy, whether it's Korea, whether it's the United States. And if guys got injured or took pitches off their wrist and were out for 2 months, it wouldn't matter because they'd still show up healthy to spring training. That's the issue I have. And also from myself, I'm not saying that if Schwarber, Realmuto, and let's just say Trey Turner weren't playing, I would like it even more because there's no risk for the Philadelphia Phillies themselves. It's just out of baseball season for me. It's a nice tournament. Doesn't really catch my eye because there's so many other bigger sporting events going on, including one of my favorites, which is March Madness.
The thing, though, is for this World Baseball Classic, the timelines worked out just fine in that they had yesterday isolated, but more importantly, They are isolated today. I would be right alongside you in slandering whoever booked this thing if they started this back up on a Thursday for their championship game. That would be a mess running up against, you know, 2-3 Sweet 16 games going on at the same time, and you're trying to sneak in cutaways to Paul Goldschmidt at bats here. That nobody would want that. So that, and that is, by the way, this wouldn't be on this spot in the show if this was a Thursday game. We would already be talking about Creighton Princeton. I mean, that's just the way it goes. To bring you tonight's lines, Team USA is minus 130, the total for this game, going from up to from 9.5 now to 10.5 here. Merrill Kelly is supposed to have the ball for United States. The thing is, and sometimes, you know, there's unfamiliarity in lineups versus, you know, every single guy in the United States lineup here. Here's what I feel pretty confident in. There is no way the folks in the room, Donnie, the odds makers, don't show up tonight with a Japanese baseball hat on. How is the United States not the most bet side in the history of a baseball game, it feels like, at an accessible minus 130?
Yeah, or is it that foreign money coming over that's going to push, you know, Japan over the top, and maybe the bookmakers actually need the United States as a favorite in this spot at the minus 130 price? I don't know how you bet it at this point here because, again, coming from a guy that handicaps, I haven't handicapped any one of these baseball games, so I can't come in here and say, you know, Kevin, been watching the whole thing, love the under tonight. I don't know about the over or the under or really the pitching matchups overall or how they're handling it here, but I do expect some excitement because, as you said, if you wanted to work the schedule out and the WBC said, hey, it's in the United States, we're going to put the American team in the final versus Japan, Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout and all that good stuff, it probably worked out well for them. They probably would agree, like, hey, this is a perfect final.
I would be a little tempted on that under 10.5 here. When you are into a final, you kind of get everybody's best effort, shorter leashes with pitchers and things of that nature. I know the United States has an ability to pop off, but the Japanese pitching staff has done well throughout the WBC. That's enough WBC. We go to the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Where to begin? Packed NBA slate that offered up a number of headlines for us to sink our teeth into. I thought the appropriate starting point would be the Golden State Warriors game last night in Houston. The Warriors were an 11.5-point favorite, finally trying in an attempt to secure a road victory. They were successful for the first time since January. They won a road game, their eighth of the season, and they actually did do it in covering fashion, winning 121-108. Steph Curry led the way, sneaking over a points prop of 29.5 by scoring 30. He made five threes, as did his splash brother, Klay Thompson. The question is this win impressive at all? Does this win add any confidence to anybody that is out there with Golden State Warriors futures? And I would imagine the answer to that is obviously not. If you were hoping that the Warriors would turn this thing around, this isn't the game that you're going to offer up as the C. I told you it's fine. It just stops the, oh, I can't defend this anymore, which was going to come that they lost to the Houston Rockets as a double-digit favorite. If they would have lost this game, quite frankly, I think the Warriors could have canceled their season, opened up the postseason, and told whichever home team, hey, listen, you get four wins, we'll win the three at our building, and we'll end this whole thing in seven games here. The Warriors avoided what would have probably been their most concerning loss of the season, but this does not all of a sudden mean, oh, the Warriors are fine, they needed one, and they got one. They've needed plenty before this, and they've not come close.
No, they haven't come close. And what you're probably explaining here, Kevin, for the Golden State Warriors is the vultures are circling, but they just didn't land on the body yet at this point, right? So 8-29 on the road. This is when you expected the Golden State Warriors to win, even though they don't really win on the road because you had a lot of guys sitting this one out for the Houston Rockets. And also, the Rockets not caring about winning. So this game where you see they won and won by margin, good for them. But I don't think anybody who, let's just say, has a futures ticket on the Golden State Warriors, like, you know what? that's the win that's going to catapult us and give us the extra confidence to now go on the road. Because I guarantee right now, if this was Memphis on the road, the New York Knicks on the road, the Sixers on the road, Golden State Warriors would have probably lost that game. But it does feel good that you played an opposition on the road and you won, and won by double digits. But again, at the same time, you just played a team that was basically at the jump going, hey, Golden State, come in here and please beat us. We're trying to get more ping pong balls.
The thing for Golden State, though, is their next game is also a road game. It'll be at Dallas. Does Kyrie Irving play? Does Luka Doncic play? Mm. We'll attack that in a second. Let's say they're both out. Golden State will be a big-time favorite once again, and maybe they'll handle their business once again. And that would hardly be a result, though. That would mean, oh, look, we've turned it around here. But if they win two road games in a row, guess what? Well, then they're back home for four straight. Philly, tough. Minnesota, New Orleans, San Antonio. And all of a sudden, what's that conversation about 2 weeks away from the NBA playoffs starting? Uh-oh. Six-game win streak for Golden State. Hottest team in the NBA. You know how it goes, Donnie. Hottest team in the NBA. Yep. Nobody wants to play this team. So, again, this win here stopped full disaster. Oh, my goodness. They really are the most useless team we've ever seen on the road. But don't be fooled by this year. The Warriors have shown us all season long who they are. And don't allow a one- or two-game sample size here to change your opinion. That's not how... And look, unless this team wins out DRS, I'm not so sure that this is going to be anything that will change my perception. I will say, Golden State is probably in a very, very good position to avoid the play-in, which is very important. This team is too streaky. Even if they would host one of the play-in games that they would play, I think they're too streaky to find themselves in that play-in tournament. We've seen them be vulnerable in it in the past, and the fact that they're likely going to be six or better is a big boost for anybody that has those future tickets.
No, it certainly is. You don't want to be in the play-in rounds here. And if we're taking a look right now, it's the Mavericks, T-Wolves, Thunder, and Jazz, which is interesting that we're not seeing the Lakers there, who, again, if the season ended today, would not be in the playoff race. Yeah. But having said that about the Golden State Warriors, I'm here for this. I want them to be that, oh, no, they finally got it together. I told you they would flip the switch, and they did. The hottest team coming into the playoffs, stop the madness. Once we get to the playoffs, they're going to play good basketball teams on the road, and they're going to get smoked. I'm completely out on the Warriors at this point. There was a time about a couple weeks ago, Kevin, we're like, okay, Steph's coming back. Now's the time to get hot. They haven't been able to do it. And beating, like, yes, the Dallas Mavericks on the road where both superstars are out, or beating the Houston Rockets, or handling the San Antonio Spurs in their own building, it doesn't do much for me at this time. I've seen what the Warriors are. I've seen what the Warriors are healthy, and I'm not buying into it.
Yeah, I think that's totally understandable. To get over to an Eastern Conference battle last night between the Sixers and the Bulls, there's two storylines here from this game that the Sixers lost in double overtime at home to the Chicago Bulls 109-105. There's the fact that they lost, and then there's the Joel Embiid MVP race. We'll do the MVP race in just a moment. I will say this. When you look at this box score and you go, hold on a minute. The Sixers lost a home game in double overtime as an 8.5-point favorite, with every single one of their starters having a positive plus-minus, how does your mind not immediately run to Doc Rivers? What did he do wrong? He must have done something wrong. Who did he play? Oh, did he play DeAndre Melton in 39 minutes too long? Or basically, did he have a lineup somehow where Embiid, Maxey, and Harden were all on the bench? They lost those minutes by 10 minutes, and they couldn't overcome it. This stuff also shouldn't really matter in an overtime game. It's a one-game sample size. It's wildly unfair because teams have bad losses all the time, again, over an 82-game season. But it's one of those things that you see and you go, oh, boy, do I have a future sticking on a team that involves Doc Rivers at the helm?
I mean, it's the one, number one thing on the front of everybody's mind here in Philadelphia. Take away Joel Embiid's health, right? You take a look, it's always going to be Doc Rivers. He is going to get the scrutiny. The team is too talented to not have made an Eastern Conference Finals appearance, and then you get back to games like that. Well, look at our starters. They played decently here. Outside of James Harden, who's actually 2-for-14 from the floor, if he had his normal night, the Sixers probably win this basketball game. But you were close to a double-digit favorite. You have to win this one here. You also a streaking Sixers team. Not 5-5 in your last 10. That was a poor performance overall, but you're right. You start to let that doubt creep in, which we haven't had for a couple weeks in Philadelphia. And I should actually say in a couple months, as the Sixers, since that mid-December point or so, have had the best record in the NBA, with Joel Embiid playing the best basketball of anybody in the NBA. You're going to lose basketball games. It's going to happen. The Sixers were going to run the table all the way out and take over the number one seed by 4 games over the Bucks, because there's nothing the Bucks could do because the Sixers were on a 20-game win streak. That wasn't going to happen here. Still a tough loss. I could see if they lost on the road, Kevin, to the Chicago Bulls in the spot, but double overtime loss at home doesn't really help anybody else. But by the way, those props that we talked about too, James Harden's assist prop, even though he was terrible scoring, was 10.5 at a plus money number at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He finished up with 12. It's almost like, Joe, again, that point I brought up. If Joel Embiid is going to have a big night, which it seems like he does every single game, a lot of that comes from James Harden, and there you go. So another one, if you would have just doubled down on Embiid and also Harden as almost like a correlated parlay, seems to be working out well.
Yeah, it sure does. So then to get to the Embiid side of this, and I don't know if you'll find this silly, and if you do, that's fine, but when they lost this game, I immediately ran to the MVP odds, expecting Embiid's odds to have grown shorter. Embiid was minus 190 before the game, and they remain minus 190. Embiid, 37 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks, and was a +8 in 44 minutes. That's, again, maybe that's on me that I thought it was going to drop, but that's because I basically don't trust that they're actually going to give Joel Embiid the MVP award, Donnie. I don't know if you find that silly that I thought these odds would shift because they lost the game to the Bulls, despite the fact that he still is giving 37 a game in the month of March. But I thought his minus 190 was going to be like minus 140 because of a simple loss here in March.
I think they're holding firm now, because it's always that, which move do you trust the most? Is it the opening of the season? A guy starts out hot, you get those big odd shifts here in the MVP market. Is it the midseason market that sort of comes to a lull? But typically we trust the last few weeks of the market here, which showed Nikola Jokic as a heavy favorite and now roughly turning into a heavy underdog. There's not a lot of time left in the season, but let's just say there is 10 games left. There's still room for a guy to get injured, a team to collapse. We understand that. But you're right. If you went yesterday and said, okay, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but the Chicago Bulls came into Philadelphia as close to a double-digit dog and beat the Sixers, you would feel there was some movement. But then you look at the box score, and it wasn't because, like, if Joel Embiid last night had 21 points and 6 rebounds and fouled out and they lost by, you know, double overtime by 4 points, you probably would see movement. But people still see that box score and go, yeah, well, the reason why they're actually in the basketball game is because Joel Embiid had that team on his back. That's the way you're figuring out. If it didn't move last night on a loss to the Bulls, I don't know if it's going to move all that much here, Kevin, the rest of the way. It looks like Joel Embiid right now is entrenched as that MVP favorite.
He is, absolutely. Look, their next game is at Chicago, right? So for Embiid, that kind of being a copy-paste performance, it wouldn't surprise. And then the next 3 games, at Golden State, national televised game, NBA TV, second leg of a back-to-back at Phoenix. You and I are very much team sit Embiid for that game. And then we are at Denver on another NBA TV game. I cannot wait to see what the prices are in the MVP market heading into at Denver. It feels like one of the biggest games for me in terms of award importance regular season-wise that I can remember. And it will be really, really important to see what the odds are, of course, before that game and then after that game. A couple of other pieces from last night's slate to pick apart, and then we'll preview some of the key games for tonight's NBA action. That's all coming up after a quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on SportsGrid, taking a look at some of the other notes from the NBA slate last night. And one involving the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks random 7-game series that's been taking place over. I don't just feel like they play every single night here, these two teams. And every single time the Memphis Grizzlies put a victory up on the board, last night in comeback fashion, they win the fourth quarter by 17. They win the game by 4. Kyrie Irving's 28 points, not enough. And Dallas is once again a 500 basketball team, sat at 36-36. Kyrie Irving left this game in a walking boot. Now, that was said to be precautionary, and that Kyrie hopes and plans to play in Dallas's Wednesday game against the Golden State Warriors. Well, we can always say the right things, but we shall see. If Luka Doncic is back for that game, it would be Luka's first game in quite some time. We are now in a spot with this Mavericks 1-2 punch here, DRS, where we don't even trust the results when they're on the court together, but they're not even on the court now with any reliability whatsoever. And I know the schedule for Dallas is, again, relative to the rest of the NBA, pretty easy. Strength of schedule remaining, it's the fourth easiest in the NBA. But that doesn't really matter if you're going out there on a nightly basis, right, for your basketball team without Kyrie Irving and without Luka Doncic. There has to be concern around the Dallas Mavericks and everything going on with the state of their basketball team.
Yes, there is a lot of cause for concern. And we're not even talking about, Kevin, what happens after the season if a superstar decides to leave town. Let's just keep it in the here and now. In basketball, Kevin, in life, if you're injured, a lot of times, Kevin, you stay injured. Was it a foot injury that was bothering Kyrie that's now turned into an ankle injury? Luka Doncic, who's been away from the court for a while, what, he's just going to come back being completely healthy? Maybe he gets injured or stays injured as well. This isn't going to end well because we're talking about the Dallas Mavericks making a move to get Kyrie Irving as that Batman and Robin, two superstars. That's how you win in the NBA, superstar power in the playoffs, and keep them healthy. But the fact of the matter is, they're teetering on not even getting in the play-in round, which is something that we never would have thought just a few weeks ago when that move was made for Kyrie Irving. That was supposed to solidify a playoff run, Kevin. Not get to the playoffs and get knocked out in round one. Not get into the play-in round and get knocked in round one. But to win a round or two and maybe challenge in the Western Conference. And it doesn't look like we're even going to get that started because, as you said, Kyrie Irving hopes to play against the Golden State Warriors. If I see him in a boot after the game, that means it's a long shot for him to play against the Golden State Warriors. And if he does, he's not even going to be 100% at that point. And Luka Doncic coming back, does that mean he's going to be triple-double Luka and playing 35-plus minutes after an extended layoff? Absolutely not. It's panic time for the Mavericks.
It absolutely is. I just, and to your point there, making the playoffs was not the goal of this trade by the Mavericks, right? They were like, okay, we know we're going to be in the playoffs. Hopefully we can now hit a new level. And it's like, I'm not so sure if this team's going to make it at all. And I'll add this. In terms of the top teams, right, that could be in the play-in of the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Mavericks, right? The Mavericks are by far the least trustworthy of that bunch, right? If Golden State makes it, I'm not telling you they'd be a shoo-in to get out, but if one of the games is Golden State, right, they'd be a heavy favorite. If the Clippers make it, as much as that Clippers group can sometimes fall all over themselves, you'd like to think they'd be okay.
Yeah.
We have not seen anything from the Mavericks to suggest that everything would be just A-okay if they were in the play-in. I'll add this quickly within the play-in, Donnie. Some of these other teams that are trying to get in, specifically the Los Angeles Lakers, can't get any help from anybody around them, at least not on last night's slate. The Utah Jazz have a late-night game against the Sacramento Kings. It feels like the Kings win every single game that they play. The Kings were a 7-point favorite, and that ends up being an 8-point win for the Utah Jazz. But maybe the most back-breaking one was the Minnesota Timberwolves going to the Garden last night as an 8-point road underdog and scoring 140 points and beating Julius Randle's career-high 57 points in the Garden. That is a whole bunch of looking up at the standings when you wake up in the morning and going, hold on, hold on, hold on. Both of those teams last night ended up with victories. How could that be?
Yeah, you usually like to paint by numbers in the NBA, specifically if you're factoring on a team trying to get into the playoffs. Go, oh, look who they play tonight. Yeah, they're going to be back-to-back losses. That should help. And when you wake up and you see the final score, it's like, ooh, that didn't help the standings to that point because you're factoring in, at least you're right, one of those teams losing. Now, you were in the building yesterday, in the Garden here. Was this sort of like a little LeBron, like, sneak mode in? Let me get in, watch a Knicks game, you know, cheer on the Knicks. Not because I like the Knicks, but, boy, it would be nice if the Knicks win. I get a good night out. Oh, yeah, the Timberwolves lose, which would help LeBron's factoring in of getting into the playoffs. And you say to yourself, okay, superstar down here, superstar down. $1.40. The Timberwolves dropped $1.40 in the Garden in that victory. But you're right. Looking at the standings, the first thing I noticed was, wait a second now. The Lakers are now back out of the playoffs altogether. That was my first look.
It's incredible. It really, it's one of those things. And not to, like, the Lakers are 35 and 37, right? So it's not like, oh, come on, how's 35 and 37 not good enough? It's not the point. It's that the Jazz and the Thunder are both in front of the Lakers. Two teams that preseason were like, listen, if we're in front of the Lakers, that means LeBron requested a trade and Anthony Davis sat out the season, hold out Le'Veon Bell style or something, right? And so that is the thing that is still so stunning of it all. I'll just say this quickly on a personal side note here. I've never been in the building to watch a team score 140 points. One of the most magical things I've ever seen. I know a lot of people complain about no defense being played in the NBA, but sometimes people are just making their shots. The Timberwolves, 6 minutes into the game, were still shooting 100% from the field. It was like, oh, who was going to be the first person to miss on Minnesota? The building gave a big cheer, Donnie, when they actually forced their first miss 6.5 minutes in to the basketball game, which was pretty impressive, I guess, to watch that play out. Let's quickly hit some of tonight's game. Again, a spot where the Lakers will look for some help will be from their in-building partners, the LA Clippers, as they're going to take host to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They'll do so as 6.5-point favorites. The total for this basketball game is 236.5, and let me guess, DRS, if I've got your direction pointing towards an OKC game, you immediately are going to run to some SGA props.
Exactly, and why not? But also, here's the part we're trying to level out, because you know I've been joking and half-heartedly doing this with some of these teams, specifically Oklahoma City. Does there come a point, Kevin, where Oklahoma City says as an organization, you know what? The guys are fighting hard. We're actually in the play-in round. Maybe this is a good thing moving forward, where next year we're probably going to try to be competitive with our superstars and, you know, with the added, you know, talent that we're going to get in the draft, and maybe we reach out to a couple free agents. Does it get to the point where they go, you know what, we're in it now. Let's just stay in it. This is a good thing to happen here. Or do they say, oh, my goodness, we're winning basketball games. We got to put SGA and hang him up for the final 10 games of the season. That's the question I actually have, because when you look at a game and try to equate it to last night, right, the Golden State Warriors close to a double-digit favorite, ended up winning by margin on the road because we said, well, wait a second. One basketball team actually doesn't want to win this game. Are we at the point now where OKC is like, if we win or we lose, it doesn't matter, where now they finally turn around and go, hold on. There's 10 games to go. We're in the playoff race. This is legitimate. We actually have a decent basketball team. Do they let it go? That's the question I have, because the last thing I want to do is back Oklahoma City in a situation where they have to win a game and they go, okay, SGA is not going to play. And by the fourth quarter, like, Josh Giddey is nowhere to be found as he approaches a triple-double.
Yeah, it's a good point in that the Thunder, we have seen, you know, remove themselves from competition if that's what they want to do, right? They can find an SGA injury. But this would be the most egregious, because right now they are in prime position to be in the play-in. So if all of a sudden we get that update, like, man, SGA is not feeling good, be like, based on what? Him averaging 32 a game, he looks like he's feeling fine. As far as betting this game tonight goes, and look, you're not going to win every single night, but betting against the Oklahoma City Thunder, specifically as a road underdog, has been a waste of time for now two seasons. Last year, they covered 65% of their games as a road dog, and this year it's up to 69%, 18-8-3 on the season. It's just been a losing effort to try and bet against OKC. There's some times where you say, you know what, can I just try and keep this simple? And the simple approach to Thunder basketball games is to bet on the Thunder. It really has been. Let's bring up Sacramento here, Donnie. Again, last night, I feel like the rare bad loss for the Kings, as this team has been impressive, obviously, this season, blowing past expectations. They find themselves as a 4.5-point home underdog, though, against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics looking to come out here and bounce back after a 1-point loss at Utah. 4.5 is a light number, maybe, when you consider Sacramento being on that second leg of a back-to-back. What do you line up in this game?
Yeah, usually prop bets here when you're dealing with the Kings, because as we've looked at here, you're talking about a total that's monstrous here, approaching that 240 range, which is great. And also yesterday, if you guys listened into Moneyline in the afternoon, the second part of my prop bet was a Domantas Sabonis triple-double, Kevin, which he has been either knocking on the door or taking those down. He finished one assist shy last night, got nine assists from that triple-double, plus 280, so I just missed out on that. Maybe it's time to come back on it. And also, let's keep in mind, I think the Kings are in a little different boat than some of the extra veteran teams out there where that back-to-back comes in, because keep in mind, they're not locked in the playoff positioning. There's a legitimate chance that they can still take down that number two overall seed. So I don't think they punt a basketball game. And sometimes, Kevin, what do you like here? Measuring stick games. The Celtics are in town, a great basketball team. Do you think like Domantas Sabonis, maybe a Fox on team? Hey, you know, coach, give me the night off on this one. I don't want to measure up against the Celtics. Like, no, I think you get a full gas effort, but it is tough to gauge when you're trying to deal with how much these guys expended in energy and now coming home and playing another basketball game. And from a Celtics position, they know they got one last night. Like, oh no, the Philadelphia 76ers might extend their lead over us. That was a bad loss for the Sixers, which might energize the Celtics tonight. I'm probably looking more to a Celtics side in victory, but those props are going to be sensational tonight with that total close to 240.
Yeah, and I'll continue to look at Tatum props here. I like being able to get involved with the stars in good spots. And Tatum throughout this season has been great off of a loss. And he's coming off of not just a loss, but where I'm sure he feels a lot of responsibility. 4-for-12 shooting and 15 points in a one-point loss. That's not good enough from Jason Tatum here. As you mentioned, total 238 in the hook. Needing 29.5 for an over for Tatum is no problem for me. Other games on tonight's NBA slate here involve Cleveland and Brooklyn. The Pels are an 11-point home favorite to the San Antonio Spurs. Hawks, 13-point favorites to the Detroit Pistons. And then a light line where Orlando's favorite against Washington. I think the biggest of that group, DRS, would be Brooklyn and Cleveland when you try and figure out that Eastern Conference seeding right now. Five-game gap between these teams, but obviously still ramifications for Brooklyn as they're trying to avoid the play-in.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. And the Cavaliers need this victory here. Same do the Nets, technically. But if the Cavaliers have any aspirations of catching the Sixers, they must pick up on losses like the Sixers versus the Bulls last night and pick up wins here. Also, Kevin, Pistons and the Hawks. Interesting one, which most people want not so, since it's a two-touchdown favorite here for the home team Hawks. But that's also one of those where the Pistons aren't trying to win. Could it be a big night for DeJounte Murray or Trae Young in this one if you look at it props?
I just want to make this one quick note here. Mikal Bridges, 16 games in a Brooklyn Nets uniform, averaging 25.9 points per game. The Nets might have actually gotten themselves a superstar back in that Kevin Durant trade. We'll see if he can stay hot. We'll see if they can put a win up on tonight's board. We're closing out the opening hour, the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want college basketball? We've got it a little bit, kind of. The NIT tonight. There's a couple of games here on the slate if you do want to get involved with some college basketball action here. These are not your day game. 7 p.m. is the first one. That's Oklahoma State and North Texas. But look at this total. 123 and a half. I know that North Texas group likes to keep it slow, and I guess that's what they'll look to do here tonight against the Cowboys.
Yeah, slowest team in the country, Kevin, is North Texas. But I got to tell you, if I'm looking at the game itself, I'm probably going to just lean towards the home team, Oklahoma State. It's a short number price here, but we're not going to get a lot of possessions. So sometimes that could be a little bit interesting. But I do believe that 123.5 has a legitimate chance to go over. Now, hear me out on this, Kevin. It's not so much that the defenses are good, or let's just say the offense is a little bit slow, or the offenses struggle making three-point shots, or even make three-point shots. You know what I'm looking at? Turnovers. Both offenses turn the basketball over. So normally you say, like, well, that's going to kill the over. Not necessarily. If you have slower teams and better defensive teams, if you can force turnovers, Kevin, that gives you easy buckets on the other end. 3-on-2 fast breaks, 2-on-1, chances to get to the free throw line. So an interesting handicap in this game is not so much by saying, yeah, they're slow and they should play good defense. I actually like it because they turn the basketball over on offense, which could lead to breakouts. So music to your ears, a 120 or so total that we look to go to the over.
Yeah, we absolutely love to see that. I mean that's really all we ever ask for.
That's what the people are here for.
In this world here. Absolutely. So can we sneak this other game in quickly? Oregon, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The Ducks at home tonight are a favorite of 4.5 right now, total 133.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
You haven't been a real fan of Wisconsin all year long. Could they be able to keep it close? Possibly. But again, just leaning towards the home team here. It's not going to be a raucous environment up in Oregon for an NIT game. But the same way, how excited is Wisconsin for going on the road to Oregon to play this game? I'll just take Oregon as a slight favorite here.
All right, yeah, short number there. Again, playing in the NIT, still in this quarterfinal round. You've got people hosting these games, so we'll see if the home court advantage does matter tonight out on that slate. We will get to the college basketball game to start hour number two as well with some of the big coaching hire news that came out yesterday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.